James Bond took a break from all the punching and sexual harassment to do punching and sexual harassment in space because Star Wars came out. It worked because Moonraker was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, my name's Sean Collier, and I'm here with an important member of this vocal group and a beleaguered reporter. Mm. It's Camila Adams.
A heart is a house for love.
And Robin Hitchcock.
Hi.
This
I'm not singing.
This makes me a dancing ghoul. Yeah, we had a nice time with the Little Tree Film Festival.
Little Tree Film Festival
was
fun.
Yeah.
Camila won solidly. Five Heartbeats was an 86. And I didn't realize how close we were. Between the Lines was 71 and Carnival Souls was 70 and a third.
Oh, so, wow.
Big win.
All right.
There. Yeah. I already know what's next, you know, the next time we decide we're doing this. So, by the way, as promised, movies that Robin likes way more than the other two of us. We talked.
Oh, interesting.
Did this for Camila last time. I'll get around to myself next time. There are three categories of movies you like way more.
Keanu Reeves.
No.
Okay.
Charlize Theron.
Comedy, broadly defined.
Ah, that makes sense.
School of Rock, 93 versus 74 and 56.
Watch it again this weekend with my nieces and nephews. So good.
That one you gave a better rating than the special guest who
yes.
selected it because it was his favorite movie.
Yes. Hi, Dan.
What about Bob? You were at 88, 72, and 63. Back to School, you were at 80, 51, and 70. A Christmas Story, you were at 80, 47, and 60.
Wow.
This holds for Pretty in Pink, Monsters University, even Private Parts, even Howard Stern's Private
Parts.
I kind
of like Private Parts.
Oh.
55. 12 and a 40 over here.
12.
Yeah. That might be my lowest score.
Second category, dads. Action movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fast and the Furious, you were at 85, 55 and a 70. Sahara, 71 over joint 52s. Papillon, 68 over joint 50s. Maximum Risk, 63. 1931.
What is Maximum Risk?
Is that Seagal?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
No, Fire Down Below, which you were also high on, was Seagal. Maximum Risk was Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the last is just Grab Bag. The others that you liked way more are Sneakers, The Land
Love
Before
it.
Time, Star Wars Episode II, Annabelle Creation, and Urban Legends Final Cut.
What? She liked Annabelle more than we
did. I have
did.
No memory of liking Annabelle Creation.
You gave it a 74.
What?
Wow.
Camila had a 55 and I had a 60, so
what?
It wasn't as stark.
What's going on?
Go listen to that episode.
Yeah.
What's going on that week?
Don't know. Was I secretly replaced? Like, that was during lockdown. Like, that
yeah,
right,
no,
you're like, I just need to feel.
It's nice that they get to be in the desert and have a roomy house. I like this movie.
Look at all the air. All the ceilings.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, mostly comedies and dad movies, but
yeah.
Then some others.
I would argue Sneakers is a solid dad movie.
Yeah, I could have put that in the other category. Speaking of dad movies, let's see if the pattern holds, because we're here to talk about Moonraker.
Granddaddy of the dad
yes.
movies.
Yes.
Little caveat, if you hear a slight, you know, damage, literal biological damage, and also world weariness in my voice, I had COVID again. I just want to have less COVIDs than there are Hunger Games movies. That's my new, they're one ahead of me right now. They'll be two ahead of me in a couple months. So let's.
No, wait a second. Right. Good Lord. How many times have you had COVID now?
This was three.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Four right. Hunger Games movies. Yeah. Fifth one's on its way.
Oh, boy.
So that's my standard. If I get past it, really going to worry. But I tested positive when we were mere hours away from recording. So all of us watched this movie.
Oh, over a week ago.
8 to 10 days ago?
I think it was 10 days ago. And boy.
It was, I barely had it with me when it was time to record.
Yeah. I was going to say that I took diligent notes because I remember thinking, there's no way I'm going to remember any of this in 12 hours. Here we are, many more than 12 hours later. We watched Moonraker.
We watched Moonraker. Yep. By James Bond. And, you know, I'm reading my notes and I was like, some of these seem familiar to me. I definitely had never seen this movie before, even in youth. There's a number that I saw in youth that, like, I retained a vague memory of. I had never seen this movie before. And I didn't think much of it now. Camila?
Right. Yeah, never. Never, ever have I seen this movie. This is the second Bond film now that I've watched. Yes. Mm-hmm. What was the first? I mean,
Goldeneye.
And that was not this dude.
That was Pierce Brosnan.
Okay, that's right. It does not make me want to go out and watch any more Bond movies anytime soon.
Sorry for the Bond people. Although maybe Robin's here to help you.
No, okay. Here's the thing. I think even James Bond super fans realize this movie is absolute garbage, right? Probably. However, I suspect, and this is where I am here to help you, that they find it to be glorious garbage, which I don't know if I'll go so far as to say glorious, but like, I had a good time watching this total piece of shit.
I mean,
I can see that.
My initial question, and then we'll get to the segments, is this a parody? Is this like,
I think,
Austin Powers Zero?
Yes. I think that they were leaning in to the inherent campiness of James Bond and the spy genre as, like,
when we're falling on a circus and there's a gondola with wheels and Jaws finds love.
Jaws, like, finding love, I was like, okay, so they're not taking this seriously.
Yeah.
So listen, according to Esquire, in the year 2021, they had ranked all of the Bond films from worst to best. And at that
point, quotation marks around best.
Yeah, and at this point, there were 24 Bond films, and Moonraker came in at 23.
What's the big stinker?
The big stinker is Die Another Day.
Yeah, people really hate that one.
Which one is that?
That's one of the. It's either the second or the third.
Oh,
Pierce
I like
Brosnan
Halle Berry.
Is that where he has the invisible car?
Might yeah, be the one I with think you. I like that one. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get to it eventually. But maybe you don't remember. This is the weirdest thing. Someone made a casual reference to Moonraker to me on Twitter today with tie to. I was posting one of my near daily Elon Musk is an anti-Semite tweets. And someone said, yeah, did he just watch Moonraker and idolize the wrong guy? And it's like, deep cut. Yes. But deep cut.
I kept thinking about Elon Musk watching this stupid
fucking
movie.
I understand that reference.
Yeah.
If you're not that guy, sorry I'm not naming you. But maybe I'm not sorry. Elon's people are everywhere. have you seen the satellites? Because that's when you go, we're done. Did you see them moving the other night?
Not the other night, but I've seen it before, yeah.
Do you know that this? Every now and then you'll look up at the stars and 10 of them will be moving in a line and you'll lose your shit completely. And then someone near you will say, those are Elon Musk's satellites.
Oh my God.
It looks like 10 of the stars decided to shift left for a little while. They're perfectly spaced apart. They're moving the exact same speed, just like slowly trucking across the sky. And
that's
uncomfortable. And it's the Starlink. Satellites getting into position. It's terrifying. Let's talk about Moonraker. Who's doing the recap?
Camila, thank God.
Yeah. Let's see what you have.
See what happens.
Whenever you're ready.
Some guys steal and destroy the Moonraker shuttle. Drax Industries owns the shuttle. Bond is tasked with investigating. Bond meets Hugo Drax and Dr. Holly Goodhead. Drax wants Bond dead. Drax's pilot, like Dr. Seuss. Drax's pilot helps Bond by giving him blueprints, and Drax has her killed by his dogs. Bond goes to Venice and survives more assassination attempts. Bond finds a vial of something that seems to be important and gives it to M. I guess Goodhead is actually a CIA agent spying on Drax. The vial has something from a plant from the Amazon, so Bond goes there, survives more assassination attempts, a bunch of convoluted stuff with numerous Moonrakers, a plan for a new master race, and Bond launches Drax into space. Oh, and Bond and Goodhead fuck in space.
Very well done. And yeah. Well under a minute, too.
Yeah, about 45 seconds. When handled it. I don't know what else you would say.
I mean, there was so much in that middle. I'm just like, huh?
Listener, like, she was putting her glasses on as she said that. It was full effect.
Like, the point where it's like he's all of a sudden in the Wild West. Like, I'm like, what happened?
Again, with the parody, when he's on a horse with the Magnificent Seven theme playing, right? Wearing a blanket, right. And which is half an hour after they type in the Close Encounters theme onto a keypad and look at each other like, I've heard this. It's like, this is Airplane. We're doing Airplane now.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't seen enough of these for it to land as a parody.
No, it's not a parody. It's just camp. It's just camp.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not sending up what they do. They're just being ridiculous.
All right.
Well, it worked. This made
they were ridiculous.
So much money. Really? That's the shocking thing. Moonraker, June 29th of 1979, the ninth number one movie of the year, won that weekend with $7.1 million. Alien was probably in third. Big Space Times.
Really Big Space Times.
2-week number one movie in America before handing over the title either to Dracula or Meatballs, depending on which chart you check. About $70.3 million total. Ninth overall for that year. Really Big Space Time. Star Trek was fifth for the year. Alien was sixth for the year. Moonraker was ninth. So yes, this happened because Star Wars. The previous Bond
movie, I remember it was like an hour in. I was like, oh, Star Wars.
Yeah. The previous one was The Spy Who Loved Me, and the credits of that ended with James Bond will return in For Your Eyes Only, which is the same thing at the end of the Moonraker credits.
Interesting.
That was supposed to be the next story. And then Moonraker, and then Star Wars hit. Like, and they went, is there a space one? And chose Moonraker. Obviously the right decision. In global box office, which is really the more important thing for James Bond movies, because they are a worldwide phenomenon, this made more than $210 million. It was the highest grossing Bond film to date at that point.
Wow.
And remained so until GoldenEye. This was 11th overall. This was the fourth one with Roger Moore out of seven that he did. Hey, is he good looking? I can't tell.
No, absolutely not. But not even a little.
No.
I mean.
He is not a handsome person.
I guess in 1979, to a very select few, probably like the 40 year old and up bracket, he may have been not too bad to look at.
I mean, yeah, okay. I don't think I don't think he's like ugo, right?
No.
But like there's nothing going on there.
You watch the Sean Connery ones, and he's okay, but smoking hot.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch the Pierce Brosnan ones, and he's okay, but smoking hot. Mm-hmm. And you watch the Daniel Craig ones, and he's really good and pretty hot.
Yeah.
And so this guy, like, how are you in seven of these? Like, you're okay and not good looking.
So he's like, what? There's like,
he's no longer with us, right?
I don't know.
I imagine no. Yeah.
Connery, this guy, Timothy, Pierce, and
George Lazenby. He did one.
I would say this guy is the second to least unattractive of
I can't
them all.
Even remember what George Lazenby looks like.
I don't even.
Although I did like that one.
He died in 2017. Okay. More recently than I thought.
I would have guessed earlier than that.
He was 90.
I was really struck the whole time about how he looked old. And
he
like
real old.
He was like 50.
Yeah.
Right? He's like 10 years younger than Tom Cruise is. And I was you look old.
He was 50.
Yeah.
This was the last outing for Bernard Lee as M. He died before the next one was filmed. Expensive baubles.
Really? sound?
No. There's one, but it's pretty interesting.
Oh, did they have a visual effects category?
Yes.
Visual effects.
Nominated for best visual effects, lost to.
In 79, Star Trek?
Alien.
Oh, okay.
But Star Trek was also nominated. In fact, the nominees were Alien, Star Trek, Moonraker, 1941, and The Black Hole. This was the only time there were five nominees from when they renamed it Best Visual Effects in the 60s until 2010.
Oh, wow.
Usually it was like two.
Yeah.
And they would kind of bounce back and forth. Sometimes there would be three. Sometimes there would only be one nominee.
Right.
Until they eventually said there's always three. And then in 2010, they said there was always five. This was the exception because
there were so many space movies.
Everybody's
on the space bandwagon.
That we needed five nominees. It was rightfully Alien 1.
Yeah.
This is based on one of the Ian Fleming novels, but apparently almost nothing from the novel makes it to this movie other than a guy named Drax who's in space. In fact, there's a novelization of the movie because it was so different from the book that people buying the book were not getting what they expected. You know who was who wanted to direct this is Steven Spielberg was after this job.
Really?
What?
After Close Encounters, negotiations broke down and he went off to do Raiders of the Lost Ark instead.
Well, I think that worked out well.
That was good for him. But he did grant permission for the Close Encounters theme being used. This is the third Shirley Bassey theme.
No good.
Not very good.
I was really disappointed in it.
After Goldfinger and Diamonds Are Forever, she did it the very last minute. Just like the moon, it was supposed to be Johnny Mathis.
Who's that?
He's a
very good looking. My grandmother really loved Johnny Mathis.
He's like a 50s crooner, ballad singer kind of a guy.
Okay.
Like, you know.
Very good looking, like smooth, silky hair. Like on the Harry Belafonte kind
of.
Okay.
I was looking into it, couldn't figure out what. I think he kind of just flaked at the last minute. And someone was like, fuck, call Shirley Bassey.
Break glass in case of emergency.
So she showed up, but she like wouldn't promote it because she was like, I didn't really know what I was doing or care with this song.
Makes,
so
when you listen to the song, that makes so much sense.
You know who was offered but declined the song is Kate Bush.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
It's not like that would have worked, but it would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
Two more little things. The opening skydiving sequence was shot while skydiving.
Yeah, that you is could tell. It was cool.
Complete free fall. The only close-ups of Jaws' face and Bond's face were done in the studio. Everything else was done in the sky.
Wow.
So that's cool. And the other, you know who they were talking to, is Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra was in talks to play Drax and do the song. But didn't work out.
Play Drax.
So Michael Lonsdale, the guy who did play Drax, is one of the celebrities I've encountered in real life.
Oh, tell us about it.
It wasn't that interesting, but it's such a short list
sure
that it's exciting.
More interesting than this movie.
When he shows up in anything, I'm always like, a human I have encountered. I was in Paris. My aunt took me and my sister to Paris when I graduated from high school and she graduated from college, respectfully. And we had a driver and he was walking us around and he would tell us little facts about everything the way that those guys do. And he like lost his shit because he saw Michael Lonsdale and he was like, don't look. He was like, play it cool guys. Oh my God. Like, and, like it was like a huge movie star. And then I was like, oh, it's the guy who paints the little figures in Ronin.
So you knew who he was when you saw him.
but not like to be really impressed, just to be like, oh, there's that person I recognize.
I've seen him in films.
Like, aw.
Mm-hmm. So, bad movie. Okay, let's move on. No,
I had fun. I mean, listen, I haven't decided what number I'm giving it yet. It's not going to be a generous score. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But like, dude, the scene at the end when the henchmen and the Marines fight in space in their spacesuits, they have like an infantry battle in the vacuum of space. I'm sorry. I think it's the coolest thing I've ever seen and the funniest thing I've ever seen.
But it looks so bad. Listen, if literal Star Wars had been in theaters for 2 years and Alien was out at the same time, and this literally looks like there's an invisible boy holding up little army men going, pew, pew, yes. Pew, pew. I'm like, did you think this was good
this was really like, you know, like you said that this wasn't supposed to be the next one.
Right.
And then they're like, Star Wars, space, great. I was like, what can you guys get me by tomorrow morning at noon? By tomorrow morning.
When Colin was in fourth grade, he drew a picture of a space battle that is still hanging in his mom's art studio. Mm-hmm. I have brought a picture of it to show you. It is essentially
pretty much the climax of Moonraker.
It is the scene of Moonraker. And when that scene was going on, I was like, just crying laughing, and then I remembered that picture, and then I had to pause it. I was laughing so hard.
I feel that way about the long fist fight in the Museum of Rare Glass Objects.
Oh my God.
Then I'm like, okay, you got me here. All right. Keep punching each other and falling into glass things. Sure.
That
great.
Poor henchman is so incompetent. And I don't even know if they name him.
That the Drax's original dude?
Drax's original henchman who just is like a bumbling fool.
Yeah.
Like, and the rare glass objects, like, he just breaks everything and fails to kill James Bond over and over again.
Like, the first one, it was insane to me. Just, like, I don't, the fact that there were so many fail safes not in place for, like, this situation's like, oh, you know, get in this little pod thing, and then
we're
if
just
it goes
walk away.
Yeah, and if it goes past this thing, you'll probably die. I don't know, but maybe you won't. I don't know.
Yeah,
and you got one guy who apparently can be bribed with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, mm-hmm. or what, just to walk off. It's fine. It's just, I don't know. It's like, I love ridiculous movies, but this is a ridiculous,
it's very ridiculous.
On a level that I did not enjoy.
And then the other problem is that I think I would like this movie a lot more if it didn't sometimes take itself seriously.
Yeah.
So, like, the scene where the bad guy kills the one lady with his dogs. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of dogs, so this is, you know, more bad for me. But, like, that is a genuinely harrowing and horrifying mm-hmm. scene.
Yeah.
And it goes on for a while. And then the very next scene is some bullshit with Jaws. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, wait, what? Someone was just horribly murdered.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking for a minute, I was like, well, maybe she didn't die. Maybe she just, you know, they just kind of, you know, attacked her and she got away. And,
right.
And she's going to pop up again later.
No, murder. No, they ripped her apart.
Yes. Ripped apart by dogs.
Straight up eaten by Dobermans.
And
whatever.
Then also, like, the bad guy, who, by the way, like, his name is Drax, but in my brain, his name is Moonraker, right?
Right.
That Moonraker.
John Moonraker.
John Moonraker. But, like, we're talking about Elon Musk because he owns space equipment
yeah.
that he's leasing out to the government.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, psych, I've been doing this for evil reasons all along. And I'm like, where have I heard this one?
Yeah.
So, and like the evil, he wants to kill all of humanity and make a race
perfect.
Of white waters.
Except for his hotties.
Hot white
yeah.
people. Like,
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very heavy for, you know.
For as ridiculous as it's been up to this point.
This
and
is,
then we get into like, oh, genocide. Okay.
Yes.
This is why Dr. Evil always wanted $1 billion because like that lets it be funny.
Right.
If yeah. he's just like, I want money. Ha ha ha.
Right.
Not like I want to do genocide right now.
Yes.
I press the button. It's going to happen. Better stop all of the human. Oh my God.
Here. There were multiple boat chases.
That's good.
Not even just boat. What are they called? Gondolas?
Yes.
and then the boat.
In the Amazon.
Right. But no, and there's also James or Bond's boat that just goes up onto like a Just Ducky
that
tour.
That was also very campy.
Yeah. It's like
his gondola that converts into a car.
Yeah. I mean, I do have the just random things that I liked written. 10-foot carnival clown on board. Furry horn section. I guess that happened
at
some point.
That part of the movie looked very expensive, which I enjoy.
For some reason, I wrote...
No, the carnival part.
Yeah, carnival looked... And it was well shot.
Yeah.
For some reason, I wrote down, my anaconda don't want none unless you got Bond dead. And
there's a fight in the Amazon.
Yeah,
yeah,
probably.
You had COVID while you were watching. Yeah.
No, there was a snake.
Yeah,
he was being squeezed by a snake at some point.
In the Amazon.
Okay,
all right. Here's credit to the producers. They are so good. You hear my voice there? They're so.
Tell me more, Peter Brady.
they're so good at finding hot people that some of the hot people in this movie aren't even famous. Like,
yeah, right.
There's my favorites I looked up, as I am wont to do, and they weren't celebrities.
No.
They needed so many hot people for this movie, and I guess for the franchise in general, that they were just like, you're great, come on in.
Yeah.
Will you get a career out of this? No, absolutely not.
It's funny to me because it's just almost like, does Bond ever encounter any just normal-looking women?
No.
And he just beds all of them.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And my other thing is, are most Bond movies in like this many locations?
Yeah, I think that's pretty typical.
You so need it's kind of like Mission Impossible.
Right. It's like, I mean, it's part of the genre is that he's globetrotting, right? Yeah. So like going to different exotic locations is part of the fun. So this gets a, I mean,
gets around like a lot.
Them having serious Europe action and serious Brazil action. Right. This one is pretty, and you know, space.
Also space. Like the ultimate.
Yes. I will say one of the things that consistently bothered me about the second half of the movie is everyone is incredibly chill about being in space.
Right.
No one ever goes, we're in fucking outer space.
It's 1979, right. Guys. Yeah. Come on. Like show, it's okay. Just like right. To lose your chill just for a second.
That actually, that lack of urgency is part of the reason why I don't like Bond movies that
okay.
much. Because they do start, you press play and he's fallen out of a plane.
Right.
Like,
right.
Stuff is always happening. And he is always so cool
yes.
and sardonic about it that you're like, well, if you don't care, I'm not gonna.
Right, and I right. think that's what I noticed for yeah. myself as well. It's like, you know what, this guy, and I didn't know if it was just this actor or mm-hmm. if most Bonds are like this. But
most
it's like,
Bonds
yeah,
are like that.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, this, you know, I've seen, it's not a big deal. It's like, it's just, and like, I don't. Like, you, dude, like, come on, give me something, some emotion,
right.
something more than just mah,
and
a
I
cocked eyebrow.
I think a lot of people our generation really connected to Daniel Craig Bond because he is a James Bond who has feelings.
Okay. Yeah.
Which
I would agree.
At the time, I remember being kind of like, okay, cry bitch, but like, now I'm like, oh, maybe men having feelings is a good thing.
Wait, I mean,
does Daniel Craig's Bond cry?
I think he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some really bad shit happens to him.
Well, I mean, you know, emote, my dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay.
You know, when he didn't have much of a feeling is when he died.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, spoilers, but what is that, 2 years now? It's.
Yes. Like, I was upset, though, that they didn't have James Bond will not return. I really wanted it to say James Bond will not return at the end of those credits.
That's it.
That's why I kept waiting. Like, that. What the hell was the last movie's name? It's not Skyfall.
It's something about
solar?
Dying.
No time to
die.
No time to die. No time
Spoilers,
to die.
Spoilers, he had time to die.
I can think of at least two things wrong with that title.
He had time that day.
Like when he stood alone on an exploding island and was hit by rockets, because that's what you have to do. It felt so underplayed for this franchise that I was like, well, he's got to be coming back.
Right.
And then we're at his funeral. I'm like, No. This should have happened very slowly with a cackling villain standing next to him or something.
Okay, so all of the Bonds.
Sorry,
I
spoiled a movie you should have seen by now.
So all the Bonds, this is just their code names, yes. This is James Bond. That's not.
No.
Still,
James Bond
still no.
is a guy.
007 is the code name.
Yeah.
Like in the last movie, there were different 007s, but there was still only James Bond.
Okay. So how do we feel about this campaign of whoever's going to be the next James Bond? I know the only one that I've ever paid attention to is Idris Elba, possibly.
I refuse to get emotionally invested. I'm not going, like, I cannot allow myself to, like, have a Bond candidate who I support. I know that whoever they pick, I'm going to find wanting in some way. I hope it's someone I've never heard of, frankly.
Gotcha.
And I hope they're hot. Those are I hope they're not white. Those are really, that's like, those are my three desires.
Apparently the betting favorite is still Aaron Taylor Johnson.
No! He's a
baby face. Like,
oh, I hate him. He's a black hole of charisma. I hate him.
I mean, you know, I'm all about this Kraken bit that's happening. Like, I don't know
what
like, all I saw was a poster, and I'm like, yes.
Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah, Kraven, Kraken, whatever. Mm-hmm. I saw the poster, and I'm like, yes.
Trailer's pretty good. That already got strike delayed. I think that's not coming out for a while.
That's
now.
Poopy.
Damson Idris is a actor.
Ooh.
I don't know his name.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Madden is in the running.
No.
Regé Jean Page.
Oh, yeah.
No complaints there.
Yeah,
that
would work.
Feels like it would work.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just so old now. They just all feel so young.
I was going to say, like, one, he is definitely a hot young thing where I'm like, young thing.
Henry Cavill. I don't think you can be
what?
Superman and James Bond. Henry
Sit
Golding.
Down,
oh, Henry Golding would work.
Yeah, he could work.
He's hot.
The feeling is that Idris is too old now. That there was a time for this and it was 15, 20 years ago. But.
I mean, I don't care either way, but
this very long list from Variety has Tom Hardy on it, so you have something to hope for.
No.
Yeah.
No,
I don't want Tom to be Bond.
He's got weirder things to do.
Yeah, man. Like, I like my Hardy just, like, rough and just weird and, you know, indecipherable.
In a psychosexual relationship with himself.
Yeah, and indecipherable. Yeah. Like, I don't, you know, I like the mumbling. Like,
have you ever heard of him? No. Because you were too busy in your penny baking fucking fairy cakes, weren't you? This lot of fucking nonsense to a man. They're fucking nonsense. You have to fuck your way. Go on, get up. Go and fuck off.
Yeah.
That's, I like, yeah. I don't need him cleaned up as Bond.
Moonraker.
One time, Colin and I went to a James Bond costume party, and this was in South Africa where they don't have costume stores or Amazon, so people really have to, like, you know, go to work to dress up. And we just kind of, you know, he wore a suit, I wore a dress and 60s makeup, and, you know, I go pretty hard when it comes to theme
you
parties.
Do.
Right, right.
We were the, like, most chill people at this party, and there was a couple there as Jaws and Pigtails.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Apparently that's got a Mandela effect thing.
What?
Lots of people swear that when they were young that they know that Pigtails also had, like, heavy braces, and that's why they fell in love.
Oh.
Which is not the case.
Yeah.
But people swear that's a
I can see
bear.
How that would break your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that would have been clever.
Yeah. No, yeah. That would have been a nice...
Yeah.
Would it? I mean, that whole thing, it's...
I don't understand. When we saw the trailer...
From the most exotic locations on Earth, Moonraker will transport you to another world. Holly was a warm girl, with the right connections.
Could this possibly be the moment for us to pool our resources?
We would be better off working together.
More excitement, more thrills, more spills. And guess who's dropped in for a bite? Jaws is back. From Earth to the most spectacular adventure in space, Moonraker. It's out of this world.
What exactly are you up to here, Drax?
Moonraker 1, liftoff.
Moonraker 2, liftoff.
Moonraker 3, liftoff.
Moonraker 4, liftoff.
We have liftoff.
What's that?
An entire city in space.
James Bond and the treacherous Dr. Goodhead. Despite your efforts, my finely wrought dream approaches its fulfillment.
And they were like, guess what, everybody? Jaws is back! I was like, people care?
I looked into this. Apparently, they got letters from kids that wanted Jaws to be a good guy. So they were like...
Oh my God, I love children.
They were like, fuck it, none of this matters, sure. He can try to eat James Bond and save him in the same film.
I mean, why would children, like, gravitate towards Jaws?
I don't know.
He's a big guy with metal teeth.
Big, funny guy.
He looks scary. Like, as a child, I would just imagine this is nightmares. This is what nightmares are made of.
This is the last thing, because...
What else is there?
Because we don't care. I'm sorry. I know there are lots of people who are very passionate about this.
But I doubt this is probably not... I doubt this is one of them that you are. Like, even...
When does he stop being a prick?
Never.
I mean, but a little bit. Like, we talked during the GoldenEye episode about how he was still all the way a prick.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm like, you're like, I actively dislike you.
Yeah.
Which wasn't even the case in the Sean Connery. In the Connery ones, he's swarthy, but he's not, like, an asshole. Right. This guy's just an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Roger Moore specifically? Or was that...
I've never seen him in anything else. I don't know.
I'm sure I've seen him in something where he was playing celebrity Roger Moore, you know. I think James Bond is always a dick.
Yeah. All right, the ratings.
Yes.
I don't know. 39. I say 39. Camila.
22.
And Robin, I will remind you that he misquoted Casablanca.
Okay, you're right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 43.
All right.
Yeah.
So
I'm not mad I watched this movie.
You can only dad it up so much.
Yes.
In this case, 34 and 2/3. Maybe we'll hit whichever one is the hidden gem.
Okay.
Someday. What do you even know? Like, what's supposed to be the good pre Daniel Craig one?
Oh, well, I mean, I think GoldenEye is like legit great. Goldfinger is legit good. I remember liking the George Lazenby one, which I can't remember which one it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We might find out. I'll be honest. I hope we don't.
Yeah.
I really hope it's not this week.
So, we have a new bingo card.
We have a new bingo card.
Yeah. What do we have? We've got some new stuff. It's Hang Up a Coat, Photo Taken, Basement, Directorial Debut, Unrequited Love, Woman in a Red Dress. I don't remember what...
All wearing white. I don't remember a red dress.
There was no woman in a red dress.
I remember a lot of white and tan dresses.
Was there a funeral?
No. I feel like character overhears something they shouldn't. Must have happened.
That has to have
happened. I'm going to say that happened with Jaws, like when James Bond is like, did you hear how he's building a society of pretty people?
Mm-hmm.
And that counts.
Yep.
And that's how Jaws turns into a good guy. Because he realizes he's not pretty.
Lots of kisses in lots of places, but not the rain. He's attempting re-entry is not a good pun.
No, it really isn't.
They hang the whole movie on that one.
Yeah.
And one.
Attempting?
Yeah.
Why is it an attempt?
It's a bad
Holly
movie,
Goodhead.
Everybody. Bad movie.
Holly Goodhead.
Doctor.
Doctor
Holly.
But is she a doctor? Because she's a spy, or is that just her cover?
Was she actually a doctor? I don't
probably
know.
Probably not.
Maybe also, she's a doctor in the spy arts.
But also very just like one note too.
Yeah.
Is that the worst name in a series with Pussy Galore?
Probably not.
I would rather be named Pussy Galore.
Than Holly Goodhead?
Yes.
What's the other really notorious one? I always try to think of them and think of Ivana Humpalot from Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Xenia on the top. Plenty O'Toole. Plenty O'Toole's pretty bad. I think it's 1 and 1A between Pussy Galore
and
Holly
like,
Goodhead.
Even the Bond girl names, even when they're not like double entendre, are silly. Like, you know, Halle Berry's characters name something like
Tilly Masterson.
Jinx Aplenty or something. And
there's a Dink in Goldfinger.
Dink.
No last name. Just
Lacinta Jinx Johnson is Halle Berry's character.
There you go.
Whereas Rosamund Pike was Miranda Frost. They put a Strawberry Fields in Quantum of Solace. Gemma Arterton. Her character in Quantum of Solace was Strawberry Fields.
Embarrassing.
Very embarrassing. Let's talk about other movies. Who saw... I saw Barbie again. Still great.
I haven't watched any new movies. Like, I watched that stupid Amber Heard or Heard versus Depp or Depp versus Heard thing on Netflix.
That?
I want to fight everybody involved in this.
I haven't watched it because I find the whole thing so incredibly upsetting.
You don't watch it because I was enraged.
Yeah.
Because mostly I think one of my biggest issues that I take with it is the fact that there are used so much TikTok footage. And so many, they leaned so heavily on all of those little fucking YouTube commentators and everybody who was like weighing in on it as the shit was happening live. And I feel like the two that were mainly highlighted, first of all, the one guy is hiding his identity under a Spider-Man mask.
Okay.
And the other dude are just so hardcore Depp fanboys that there's no possible way that... You know, Jack Sparrow could have done any of this shit. And
right.
So it's just infuriating. So don't do it.
Yeah.
No, do not do it. I was so pissed off about the whole thing. And it's not like I'm just like, oh, my God, poor Amber Heard. Like, I feel like they were both beating up on each other.
Yeah.
And they were in a very toxic relationship. I don't think she deserved any sort of vitriol that she got online.
It's incredible.
I don't appreciate the hate that she got that, you know, and just the name calling. And it's just... I don't think nobody was taking her seriously, and it's just fucked up. And, you know, and I don't even, you know, I don't care for her as an actor. I got nothing for Amber Heard, except she is a human being.
Yes.
And she deserved a lot more respect than she got during all this.
And
shame on you, Netflix, for even putting this fucker together.
Yeah. Like,
yes. Yeah. It really does feel exploitive. And the Amber Heard, the hatred that she gets, it just feels like one of those flashpoints for just the ever-present misogyny,
yeah,
right? Where people are like, I have an excuse to right. loudly and publicly hate women, right. and so I'm going to relish this.
Exactly.
And I hate that as a woman. So it's really hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched Three Kings Kong.
The one
that's that.
I watched King Kong from 2005. I watched King Kong from 1976.
Oh, you watched,
and
oh.
I watched King Kong from 1933.
Any particular reason?
I did two out of the three of those a couple of years ago, but I still haven't seen the 70s one, and I'm very curious.
It's on Prime, I think.
But it's long as shit. That's what keeps.
No, it's shorter than the Peter Jackson one.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had never seen the Peter Jackson one, and one day was like, well, today is the day. I'm going to watch it.
It's fine.
And it was fine. Yeah. I liked it a lot more than I expected to. And most of its problems are just the source material. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, I was kind of like, Peter Jackson, you're allowed to make changes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have weird racist stereotypes. Mm. And, like, he did make some changes. Like, Anne has a character, sort of, kind of, other than just screaming. Yeah. But regardless, also Adrian Brody, so hot.
Love me some Adrian
so
Brody.
So hot. Oh, anyway.
He should not work on paper, but damn.
I know. Yeah, and Jack Black's great. Anyway, so I watched that, and then I saw that the 76 one was on. I had never seen it. Then I realized when I was watching it why I've never seen it, because that became untelevisable after 2001.
Oh, is he all over the Twin Towers?
He goes up the Twin Towers instead. Yeah, bad, but fascinating. Fascinatingly bad. Wow. Very exciting. And then, of course, had to watch the original again, and boy, is it great.
Oh, the originals. Yeah. I think the first thing that scarred me was King Kong fighting that T-Rex because of killing him by ripping his head.
Which happens in all three movies, by the way.
Lord.
Yes.
And that I probably was like four, so that was a lot to
it's
take in.
It's pretty intense. I forgot exactly how grody some of those kills are in that movie. Like, he steps on people and then they like aren't dead yet after being stepped on, and he steps on them again, you know. It's like, wow.
If you like that, watch Island of Lost Souls,
okay,
which is the first significant attempt at an Island of Dr. Moreau movie.
Okay.
Bela Lugosi's in it. It's
great.
Really, really great.
Cool. Yeah. And then I was watching it with Colin, and he just kept saying, he's like, imagine being a person in the 30s watching this, and like, how would you know, like, would people see the Eldritch Horrors and they lose their minds? He's like, how do people not lose their minds watching King Kong?
They kind of did.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the era of, and women fainted and men ran screaming from the theater,
right,
because you had never seen a Frankenstein,
right,
and now there's a giant one right in front of your face, you know.
Anyway, I recommend this journey to others. It was fun.
That's fun.
I really want to watch the 70s one because it's the basis for the Universal stuff. The opening day Universal Studios King Kong attraction was you being on the Staten Island thing, the cable car, the above ground cable car, which I understand he gets at in this movie. And I would love to see that. I just never have had that day. This is an interesting content. Cut that out. What else have you watched?
Let me pull up my Letterboxd. One weird movie that I watched that I'm just going to talk about for lack of anything else is The Heavenly Kid, which is a movie.
It's an 80s thing.
It's
right?
an 80s movie. It's from 85, and it's like a greaser dies in like a chicky race, and then.
Is that Rick Moranis in
that? No, it's. The actor who's in it, I only recognized him from, he's in Buckaroo Banzai, he's Perfect Tommy. He goes to 85 to help this high school student and then finds out that the high school student is his son. So he was having his, like, rebel without a cause death in 1970? It's like they just didn't do math, and they just were like, no one, don't worry about it, it'll be fine, just do it.
You know, a guy from before.
Yes.
Sure.
Anyway, while it was terrible, I also could not turn it off. I was like transfixed. And we watched a cute movie called something like Miguel Wants to Fight. That's on some streaming service, and it is as lighthearted as it sounds. It's about a high school kid who like puts on his bucket list to get in a fight, and they like set rules for like what fights count and what don't.
Interesting.
It was fun.
I mean, I had COVID, so I watched 10 movies. I don't know how many of them are. Boy, were we all right about the Babadook. That's
love that movie.
Rewatched that for the first time since, and boy, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like aside from you know, kind of a, I give it a half star deduction because they really leaned into killing the dog.
Oh,
I don't remember.
It's hard for me to get past. But other than that, it's kind of perfect.
Yeah. Great movie.
Somebody should throw a lot of money at her because I see a lot of generic ass horror movies that I feel like she could have helped.
Mm.
She did. She went on to another like very, very dark, very personal. She went on to something about horrible things happening to Aboriginals.
Oh, The Nightingale?
The Nightingale.
That was a great movie, too.
That was really, really good. It's dark as shit.
Yes.
But it's like, can you give her a nun or a or an Annabelle or
apparently
something?
Apparently, I like Annabelle sometimes.
Yeah, give her an Annabelle. Saw E.T., still love E.T. Saw Frankenstein, still love Frankenstein. High Noon. I had never seen High Noon.
Oh, High Noon's so good.
Really, really good.
That was That was the first old movie that I ever watched, and I was in fourth grade when I watched it. And it was for whatever weird reason, I don't remember why, but we were all in the gym at school to watch this movie.
Interesting.
I don't know why, but that got me interested in watching older movies.
Oh, wow. I love that.
I've never seen it again since because I don't want to fuck up that whatever memory that was there.
That's probably worth it.
No, it's really good. It's really good. I watched it again recently because I watched the Marion Cotillard movie she was nominated for, which is High Noon. It's like, it's called 2 Days, 1 Night. And she has to go ask all of her coworkers, like, will you please help me with this situation or I'm going to get fired? And they keep being like, no. And I was like, oh, they're doing High Noon. And then, of course, I had to watch High Noon.
It's interesting because I don't really necessarily enjoy Westerns, but
it's, you know, it takes place in the West, right? Yeah. It doesn't have most of the Western tropes.
Yeah.
I watched a Western that I think I enjoyed way more than I expected to called How the West Was Won. I watched it because it was nominated for Best Picture. It is one of those, we put every movie star we could find in an epic, in air quotes. Sean, you would like that movie.
I bet you I would.
Yep.
What else? I watched 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
How was that?
Because I bought a t-shirt, one of those Vault Collection Disney t-shirts. And I was like, well, I should probably have at least watched them. you know, I appreciated it after Demeter. I was like, good, another boat movie.
Okay.
Right, we're on a boat again.
So I got a list now.
Peter Lorre's really good. When the Squid Shows Up, great.
Mm-hmm.
Again, one horribly problematic scene took it down a good bit for me. If you're watching that, you'll know when to leave the room, but leave the room for 10 minutes and pretend that nothing. The first time someone says cannibal, get out for a while and come on back. And I just this morning, what a horrible note to end on. I just this morning watched the Netflix documentary about the Boy Scouts abuse scandal.
Oh boy.
Which one was that? I think I may have seen that.
Scouts Honor, The Secret Files of the Boy Scouts of America.
No, I have not seen that one.
I think it just, like, I'm reviewing it this week. Dropped today. Boy Scouts.
I don't know.
Don't do, I mean, who knows? This is very, very, obviously this is kind of one-sided, but I don't know what the other side would be.
The other side is
that was bad, but we've cleaned up. And the argument is, oh, no, you haven't.
No, I mean,
there's a lot of, I mean, that's the shocking thing is that post, you know, this blowing up, they were presented with a lot of like very common sense. Like, if you want to prevent this, do this, do this, do this. And they didn't do any of that stuff.
I just don't understand how so little care is taken into the care of children.
Yeah.
In this world.
Before, you know, this was known. And to this day, like, you don't have to provide your government ID to be a Boy Scouts volunteer.
Excuse me?
No. Because they're like, badly need volunteers that even that is like, that's going to put us below the ability to recruit the number of people we need to do this.
Oh, Jesus. I would like to.
Like, how do we prevent this? Never leave your child in the company of an adult man. Maybe we stop there.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm just extra, like, hyped up right now because I just listened to a podcast episode about R. Kelly.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah, so I'm just, like, already on edge.
They're all
like,
bad.
I want to fight them all.
The representative, you know, the guy whose job it, who's, I mean, you almost feel bad for him by the end of this movie because his whole job is to be in this movie defending the Boy Scouts.
Oh my God.
Like, at one point is like, well, you can't develop a, what's the word I'm looking for? A profile for the kind of person that would do this. I assure you, you can.
Yeah.
It would just be very bad for your organization specifically. Exactly. It would be adult white heterosexual males with time to kill. Right. That's the profile.
Right.
And you need all of them. So, let's spin it to form for just a minute. Documentaries, particularly Netflix documentaries, which can feel a little thrown together sometimes.
Mm. Heard versus Depp.
Put the people who are arguing in the room together. If you sat down for 8 hours with most of this movie is the guy, the whistleblower saying, I told them this and they didn't do anything about it. And then the representative guy saying, he never told us that. It's right. Like,
yeah,
just get them in the same fucking room and we'll have a better movie here.
Absolutely. Because clearly, you guys, they both agreed to be on camera. Let's put them in and let's duke it out on camera because that's this. I don't know. He didn't. Wasn't me. Like, that's bullshit.
Well, I forgot my letterbox list for Moonraker. So letterboxed was crap in space, alien trash from another world. And that's a fun list.
Yeah.
It's all of the like kind of low rent space movies that you could have a good time. Let's move on and draw a movie.
What? I want to see somebody. I would like some place or somebody to do a film festival based on some of these letterbox lists.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk to
Clubhouse.
I don't know if you heard, they got 5 screens to fill now.
So. Yep.
Congratulations. I know we're not just have Pittsburgh listeners, but that's all very exciting.
Yes.
Folks at Rojas Cinema, which have run one beautifully curated screen in Lawrenceville for 10, 12 years now, partnered with one long dormant neighborhood theater and took over operations of another. And
dormant Dormont Theater?
No, the dormant one was Mount Lebanon. Yay! I just used a funny word. They're going to do a lot of really exciting things and have excited. Like their like initial drop was like, we're doing Donnie Darko with the director and also Rebecca Del Rio's coming in to sing Mulholland Drive.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Rebecca Del Rio.
Yeah. It's like November 4th. She'll sing the songs and then they'll watch the movie.
Awesome.
She still owes me a compact. The last time I saw her sing that song, I bought a little, I was like, I'll have one of those. She's like, it's sold out. Email me and I'll mail it to you. That is yet to happen. Mm. So I have to
bring
go.
Your receipts.
I have to go say, excuse me, Miss Del Rio.
Pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
let's draw a movie. How do you respond to Moonraker? You respond by watching Carrie, one of my favorite movies.
Yes. Awesome.
Is it the original?
It is the original. Thank goodness. I looked at it and I was like, Chloe Grace Moretz?
Which I don't mind that one either.
It's fine.
So spooky season's coming a little early.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't we say we had one more and then it was spooky season?
Yeah, I think
so. Wait, it's...
Yeah, right. That's, I bet you wouldn't have pulled that if it was just the straight up spooky season.
No, we would have landed on Final Destination 4.
So spooky season starts early.
Yeah. All right.
Sweet.
Really one of my favorite movies and one that I've gone back to the most consistently. Like, I feel like I've seen this every 3 years
forever.
I have
not seen it since I was in high school.
Oh.
So I'm looking forward to, oh my God, am I going to relate to Piper Laurie's character?
They're all
going to
laugh at you.
Oh God. Oh God.
She has, we'll talk about it next time. She has this brilliant moment where she pivots, where she's begging him not to go, and all of the religious stuff hasn't worked, and she pivots and goes, oh, he's late. He's not coming. It's like, oh, mom showed up through the witch.
I'm excited.
She's so good. Here's the only difference. You will think Piper Laurie is the best actress in the movie.
I think I already thought that, yeah.
I think it's probably going to be a double feature for me. I'll probably watch the remake also.
I've never seen the remake.
It's not bad.
Okay.
It's not bad. And when I was 14, I liked The Rage Carry 2.
I did see The Rage Carry 2. Yes, I did see The Rage Carry 2, and I did find it not worth my time.
There's a TV one that people mention sometimes.
Oh, really?
You'll find out next week on the Faxi segment. Before we get to that, Moonraker came out in after Star Wars. June 29th, 1979. What was?
My Sharona.
No.
Ooh, that's a good...
Donna Summer.
Ooh, getting hot, but not there.
Is it disco? Like Bee Gees?
Yes. Boy, is it disco.
You said Donna Summer.
I said Donna Summer.
Diana Ross.
No.
Chaka Khan.
No. I never know with disco. I think this was a one-hit wonder, but I never really know with disco.
What do you call it? Peaches and Herb.
No. Solo lady. This song popped up in The Waterboy. I don't know why I remember that.
Mm. Tina Marie.
It's a very specific sexual instruction that kind of the metaphor breaks down if you think about it for more than a minute. It's clear what she's telling you to do, but then you think about it and you're like, that sounds kind of a weird way to put it.
Push it, shove it.
You would.
Tug it, love it, hug it.
Skip it, bop it.
Fuck it.
Technologic.
You're being told to do something. You're being told to something my something.
Shut your mouth.
No, you're kiss, something. Blank my blank.
Kiss my grits. I'm going nowhere.
I don't know.
I'm gonna go home. Tell me when you get it. It's Ring My Bell. Oh, we're looking for Ring My Bell.
By Rudolph's mom.
You didn't put that together until now?
No, it's not like I listen to it on a regular basis, but I mean, it's just...
Picture a little, you know, on the counter.
No, it was more like Ring My Bell coming over to my house.
No, I don't think that's what she's saying.
I also thought that it was that innocent.
It's a very horny song. Anita Ward is her name.
Anita Ward. There you
mm-hmm.
go.
Yikes.
Who is not Maya Rudolph's mom.
Isn't Minnie Riperton?
Yeah.
Rudolph's
yes.
mom?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This has been Who Disco People Are.
Number one movie in America.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
Guy rakes the moon, as I recall.